It's Arnold Bjorn with Warm Welcome, a show about passionate people and how hospitality plays a part in what they do.
Today we sit down with Laura Martinez, Paris-born, Brooklyn-based, a two artists who's really traveled the world through her work. I was really excited to get around to doing this episode specifically because I've really wanted to have someone that is in that world. It's a world that I don't know anything about. And so today we speak on how she became a tattoo artist, starting her own parlor in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, to the inspiration behind her fine line geometric designs and the implications of inking.
I use an iPad for pretty much everything from editing and recording this podcast to staying on top of news and current trends. The one app that I use actually that's helpful for me at least is Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world's stories so you can be smarter in your work, life, and play. You can choose from thousands of topics to personalize your Flipboard and get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to you 24/7. Now, when you see these stories, you can just tap the plus button to add them to a private or public collection, and it's very simple. And you can get started now at flipboard.com.
I grew up in the suburb of Paris.
Yeah.
Like in kind of like underprivileged areas, like not the fancy Paris at all. But it was awesome. It was very multicultural. There were people from everywhere, Mediterranean, North Africa. I grew up learning about different mentalities and cultures and ways of living. I had a happy childhood. Like, it was complicated between my parents who divorced when I was younger, but I started to be very inspired artistically very early. I just always wanted to build things. You would give me like wood or paper and I would like build a cabana in my bedroom. I didn't really know what I wanted to do with that or where it would take me.
Yeah.
But I knew that I just wanted to make things all the time. In the city I grew up at, there was not really too much like arts options. All my high school, I was doing, we call it economic and science. So I was taking more direction of doing economics. Yeah. I didn't really like it. I thought it was super interesting and I learned a lot, but I could see that my direction was way more artistic studies. So for that, I had to go to Paris and make a folder of like having like good good results at school, which I had good results, but because I had no artistic backgrounds, a lot of school were like, for you. I think that a lot of people had like not much hope in me for that, because that came from nowhere. But I was super motivated, so I tried to ask all my teachers to like write me letters, even if they were like a mathematics teacher. I'm like, yeah, please just write something. Like, just
nice
show that
me.
I'm motivated. Yeah. And I had to do like a lot of different competitions for different schools. In France, the system is different. The least money you pay, the better that means the school is.
Really?
So, yeah, it's not like about
not
the
like
money,
here, huh?
It's about the competition. So a lot of art school, if you want to have a good quality of school, it's very long process. So like that school I wanted was pretty much a year long of competition with like five different steps. So you're happy you get the first step and then you have to hope you get the second one.
Second and third and fourth.
So with my profile, I had not much hope because usually people who succeed these schools had to do preparation school for that, which are expensive, and my parents couldn't afford any of these schools. So I kind of prepare it on my own at home. And I think it made the difference because I was like very fresh profile and I had different idea and I was not like systemed by this preparation school. And I got that school, so it was a master degree in art and I chose a product design specialty.
Wow.
So it was 5 years.
5 years in, in this art school.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the time there?
It was amazing. Yeah. I feel so lucky I was there. I met awesome people, and I think now living in the US, I realize even more how lucky I was, because for 5 years we had like plastic, metal, wood ateliers, serigraphy, photography, anything wanted.
So super diverse.
Free. Yes. I learned sculpture, I learned painting, photos, and with like talented teachers and amazing ateliers for like no money. And I see here in the US that I will I would
that'd be a
be
lot of
paying
money.
Yeah. Debts until my 50 years old, I think. So I'm like, wow, yeah, it was a big chance.
Because I don't know anything. I don't know much about art school in the U.S., but I do know it's like very specific. Like you kind of choose a concentration, and that's like really all you're doing. But it seems like you just got like a huge broad scope of art in general, right?
In our art school, usually the first year is open, so you get to try everything. Mm-hmm. So the first year we did architecture, photography, serigraphy, painting, sculpture. Jeez. Everything. And at the end of the year, you choose your specialty.
Yeah.
So I was between graphism and product design. And I chose product design because I felt if I take product design, I could still try to do graphism in it.
In
like
it, yeah.
To do
you can
my,
incorporate both.
Yeah, to do like my product presentations. I was involving graphism. So, of course, it was not as deep if I was doing graphism, but I was too manual, so... Yeah. Product was perfect for me.
Yeah. What was the first product you designed, maybe like after school or?
I remember the first product we did at school because it was memorable. It was like a metallic chair. So that's the first time I was like in an atelier for like many weeks and building my own chair. And I still have that chair at home.
You can
really? Sit on it. So that was like a pride because it's like your first object and it's actually.
You can use it too. It's dramatic, yeah.
That was awesome. And, of course, like a big memorable one was my the fifth year of school. That's when you do your diploma project. Mm-hmm. And I chose to do it in Madagascar with some craftsmen. So I spent a lot of time there and we built a full collection of products. Yeah. And that was for sure the main thing to me that I built. Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Madagascar because I read online that you were really inspired by your time in Madagascar. So I would love to kind of talk more about that time in Madagascar and what was so inspiring about it and maybe kind of transition that also into how you got into tattooing.
I used to be with my ex-boyfriend, wasn't born in Madagascar, but his two parents were from Madagascar. So he grew up in France and lived in France, but he made me the first contact with this country. Mm. He wanted to show me his grandparents someday and go there. So we went there for a first trip in my third year of school, and I just loved it. I've always loved African arts and the basketry with like the palm design, and I was fascinated by it. Also, I've always loved traveling. That was always like my biggest passion, I think. In the 4 year of school, you have to write an essay, like a book about something that you're interested in, that obviously connected with product design. So I decided to write this book about how contemporary design, I was more about African art because I spent time there, but how they both have to learn from each other and how, at the end of the day, my experience in Madagascar showed me they knew a lot more about product design because product design, it's supposed to be about how to not waste supplies, how to like be smart, how to make a simple object, resourceful, how to respect the materials you use. And I felt like they were doing that way
really
better.
Bad,
like.
Yeah.
Because it's like also a poor country, they don't have much money to afford like a lot of very fancy things. So they will build incredible furniture, or they will build machines from like laundry motors.
Wow.
And I was like, how do you do that? And it's functional, it's efficient, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I decided to write an essay about that, and I had the congratulations of the jury from the book I wrote. So I was very happy about it because I learned so much while doing it, and I felt I should just move forward and do more about it. So for my fifth year, I decided to just go back to Madagascar and actually spent a month, like I spent 6 months there to just stay with the family and work with craftsmen and actually build a collection based on my book that I wrote of how to connect actually their crafts and modern design. Mm-hmm. Just staying with the family, I met a new family there. And after I came back to Paris, I got hired by a company to design stores for Dior, which I went from Madagascar to being in luxury world and designing giant stores full of gold and full of money.
That's crazy.
And I just felt like something was off, like something was
wrong. Right.
Yeah, it wasn't right. And people were very happy for me. Oh my God, you do things for Dior. Like, wow. But like, my heart was way happier in Madagascar. Like,
wow. That, with less, too.
Yeah, with way less. And I felt like we were just building new things and wasting materials and wasting supplies. And we would build like $10,000 samples of gold. And like, oh, I don't like it straight
trash,
away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that would feed the entire city I was staying at in Madagascar. And I felt like, why are all these people happy for me to do that job? That I felt happy because I learned so much from it, but I felt a little disgusted sometimes by it. That's not me. And I always try to remember Madagascar. I always try to remember where I come from, and don't forget about that. And I'm like, let's just stay in that job as long as it teach me something and I learn something, but don't go too deep of it. Like, take distance. And I think the days they asked me to sign like a managing, like I would become the manager of the team and sign a deep contract to lock in, then that's the day I say no, I'm out, and I left. And thanks God I did that. After that, that's when I started to try to see what I could do with Madagascar. I didn't feel like going back there right away to do more product design, because you need the atelier, you need the money to finance it, you need the structure. So I started just more like draw things that inspired me from Madagascar. And I was already very into tattooing. I've never thought I would become a tattoo artist. That's never something that came in my mind. But I just enjoyed tattoos. And because I missed the country so much, I felt like I need to have tattoos that remind me of Madagascar. Yeah. And I just started to make research of like old tattoos that old tribes would get tattooed on them. I'm very superstitious, so I wanted to have protection tattoos.
Got it.
And I found like a lot of old books with designs that tribes would tattoo on their faces or on their arms or their chest to protect themselves against bad energies.
Yeah.
And I just started to like get some of those tattoos to like keep me protected and keep me feel like connected to Madagascar.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what started everything.
Yeah. So for tattooing for you, getting tattoos rather, what for you was a way to think about like a place, right?
Yeah. All my first tattoos were like meaningful. Like it was to remind me of a travel. Or my first tattoo, I was 17 and I was in the south of France with my best friend. And I've never seen it as something huge. Oh my God, you're getting a tattoo. This is insane. To me, it felt very natural.
Like, when you got it, yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to have a souvenir of it, and then like you might not want a tattoo on yourself. I don't care, I don't judge you. But me, it's like it didn't feel like something that was that much of a big deal. I was just happy. Like now I look at my body, I'm like, oh, that was when I was 17 in that city, and that's Madagascar. And I feel
you can kind of tell a story.
It's a book. Yeah. If I look at them, I remember a place in my life. At that time, I was very into remembering Madagascar and not forgetting what I learned there.
Yeah. So as someone that enjoyed getting tattoos done, and you just said yourself that you didn't imagine becoming a tattoo artist, what kind of inspired you to make that change and jump into being an artist?
The big change was New York. After I left that job in luxury with Dior, my two best friends were going on vacation to New York. And I mean, for anyone in Europe, it's like New York is the dream. I think anyone in the world, okay, why not? I will come with you guys. There was a product designer in New York that I met
at
Milan. Yeah. At the Milan Design Week, I met him. That was doing more what my vibe was. He was working with African basketry design.
Cool.
So he was like, oh, well, you can go on vacation with your friend and then stay for a month and like work with me. So to me, it was the perfect plan.
Perfect fit, yeah.
And so I went there and fell in love with New York, with the energy, with the people. I met a man that became my husband months later, Sam, and New York just became a love story for me. And I didn't think that would happen in my life. That was not the plan. I was just supposed to go there for 2 weeks to a month and then go back to Europe. And no, like sometimes you never know what happens in life. So I ended up staying with Sam, and we got married so I could stay here with him. And the tattooing happened because while waiting for my green card, like, I wasn't allowed to work. My idea was to work in a product design studio, but I didn't have a work permit, so I had to wait for it. And I worked in a bar on the side to make money, which was the best fun. And I was a little frustrated because I wanted to do art, but I just didn't know what to make.
Yeah.
I could not work. So my husband was telling me, oh, you should draw, like draw more. Like the tattoo you draw for yourself are super cool. I'm like, yeah, but that's just small tattoos I designed to get. But I don't really know what to draw. Just that, like with no meaning. I drew them because I wanted them to get tattooed. And he started to offer me pens and books. So I started to draw like much just to use the things he would get me. And I just got so much into it. It went super quickly. I was drawing bigger and bigger pieces. Like I was filling books and books. Then he started to get my design tattooed on himself.
Really?
First it was a surprise. Like he came home with like a design of that I did on him. So yeah. I was, wow.
That's really nice.
It was beautiful. And then our friends did it. And then people were asking me to design them tattoos. And so I was just like, wow, that's awesome. Like, because I loved what I was drawing and I love tattoos. So it was a good combo.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, at no point I thought I would tattoo myself.
Yeah.
But after like a year of that, I was starting to make money of just designing tattoos for people. Once it takes you so busy, I'm like, well, I just can't do that for free. Like, I need to pay my bills. So after 1 year of that, my husband told me, you know, you maybe you should learn. Like, you're still waiting for your work permit. You should just go to a tattoo shop and ask them if they would take you as an apprentice. And worst case, you hate it and you just step away. But at least you can try and you still have your master's degree in your pockets anyway, so
you can always fall back
if you don't like it. Once you have your visa, you can just go in. So I felt it was kind of a secure choice. I didn't feel like, okay, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
I still have my degree, it's fine. Like, why not? Okay, let's try. I did it and I just fell in love with tattooing. I just felt like, oh my god, it was a perfect combo of everything I loved, which means art. And I always wanted to be my own boss. Yeah. What I didn't like with Dior is having someone to tell me what to do. And I'm like, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe I can travel too, because since it's just a one-to-one, I don't have to ask the permission of someone. I can just, once I get good at it and once I get better, I can actually go to other countries and like maybe do more tattoos and get inspired everywhere.
Yeah.
I just completely fell in love with the idea of it and with the actual part of it, like the aspect. It was amazing.
Yeah. How would you characterize like the style of your tattoo and your drawings?
When I first started, people were saying I was doing geometric tattoos, which I don't think I do that at all anymore. I definitely do fine lines because I use like tight thin needles and I like doing a lot of small details. I have a style that's very like organic. In French, we say tribal, but I don't say. I don't know if in the U.S. you use that word when it's like Malagasy old inspiration.
I mean, I guess so we could. Yeah.
I mix a lot of like my experiences and my travels and different cultures, and I just listen to what the client wants, and I mix all of them, and I just create something new.
So that's crazy to me that you started, like, first of all, I think it's like you didn't plan to stay in New York. You didn't plan to become a tattoo artist. But now you also co-own a shop in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So how did that come about?
After my apprenticing, I started to tattoo in a shop in Westford, in West Village, which was very full of tattoo shops, full
There's
of walk-ins,
a
lot of them. And none of them were really doing my style at that time.
Yeah.
That was like 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, it's crazy. When I started tattooing there, I had a lot of clientele very quickly, and I started my Instagram, and that grew very quickly.
Yeah, I just took pictures of the tattoos you were doing.
Yeah, I was very surprised by myself. I'm like, what is going on? Like, people are really picking up on my style, which I was very happy about it. So it got very quickly crazy, and I was busy all the time. And I was sharing the basement of the shop with Burak. We were like very different profile. I'm like the French girl who just started tattooing and had a new style. And because I had product design background, I think I was very contemporary and like new in my tattooing.
Yeah, very modern, yeah.
When he was that old Viking looking Turkish guy with at least 15 years experience of tattooing. So he knew a lot more than me about tattoos. When I was more fresh and I had a style that people wanted at that time, we were not really happy with the shop we were working at. And I just realized very quickly that I would have stayed there. Probably I would still be there now if the owner was not treating us poorly. But because he was, I'm like, why am I giving you a percentage of my money when I could just keep it for me and have a shop and right. be happy. So I started to like go in my brain. I'm like, I could just open, even in my apartment, I was just thinking something small in my apartment, have a studio and just do it there. And Burak started to tell me about his idea to open a shop too. And me and my husband and a friend has been already talking about it for a little while since I was not happy at the shop. And the idea to just do it together came to our mind. Like, we couldn't be a perfect combo, knowing that all of that matched well. And Burak, with the experience, knows a lot more of tattoo artists. So it makes me a lot less scared to do it. Because it's like, I don't want to be the girl that just shows up and be, oh, I'm opening my tattoo shop. It's bitch, you don't know anything about tattooing, which is true.
Yeah.
The culture, because of my apprenticing, and I learned a lot, and I learned a lot of books, but it's a very... It's something you have to respect, to me, the tattoo culture. It's a specific world. You're getting people's something on their skin forever. And I felt like doing it without Burak was kind of very pretentious and arrogant, to feel like you can do it on your own without having someone that's been in that culture for a long time. So I felt it was a very good balance. My husband was a bartender in New York for 6 or 7 years, so... He had a lot of tattoos himself and had a lot of friends and know a lot of people. So we felt we were a good balance because of Burak's experience, my husband's network, and the bar scene in New York is huge. So we were like, oh, it's a good way to like bring first clients too, because they also all wanted to get tattoos. And my skill as a product designer and my graphism background, we felt like, let's do it.
Sure.
So we started just us, we found a beautiful space in Williamsburg that to me was like a dream. Oh my God, it's the perfect location. Also, that place that we found felt like cursed because it was always like bars or restaurants before, and it was just not the right place for this type of industry. But we felt like for a tattoo shop that would be perfect. And we started just us and two tattooers, Nadia and Evgeny, that were working also with us at the shop.
So you brought them with you.
So we brought them with us. They were like good friends and they also wanted to leave. So we're like, hey, if you want to leave with us,
let's go.
You can. And they're like, hell yeah, we're coming with you guys.
Yeah. That's awesome. And how long has the shop been open now?
It's been 2.5 years now.
Yeah. And that experience for you, how's that been like? Now amazing. That you're an owner.
It's like having a baby. There is some ups and downs. At the end of the day, it's just pride and happiness. And I feel like a big mama. Like, we have 25 people now, so it's like a lot of people. Yeah. I remember since I was very young, I didn't really care to have a house with a garden. I just wanted to have a workplace where I'm happy and nobody tells me what to do.
Yeah.
And not because I want to be like a boss, but just because I just want my own freedom and I need to be independent.
Right.
So to me, that shop was just everything I wanted.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes it's hard. Yeah. There's always something. Oh, window breaks. Or, oh, the key's not working. Or, oh, the alarm turns. Like, there is always something. But it's been amazing.
Yeah.
And the shop has been successful. So
yeah. So for people that don't know the shop, like, could you describe the parlor a little bit and perhaps why it's so different from the other shops that are in New York City?
It's called Fleur Noire Tattoo Parlor, which means black flower in French.
I was waiting for you to pronounce it.
Fleur Noire Tattoo Parlor.
<Thank you.
laughs> We chose that name because in tattoo world, flower has been something that's been tattooed for generations with different style, with traditional to... Japanese to modern, I feel flowers are infinite and intemporal, so we wanted to keep that aspect that also very feminine and can be also very masculine at the same time, so it was a good representation of us. And the shop is a very modern looking, architect is Sweden, so it feels very peaceful energy and beautiful, which I think changed for a lot of shops that can be scary to some people.
Yeah.
Like a lot of old school tattoo shop feels
like a metal punk rock.
Exactly. No, this is very different. It's a very bright window. We have a garden outside.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy of how we turned the space because the idea of being welcoming for everyone. I wanted that aspect to show up when you walk in, but also to show that, no, we also a tattoo shop, guys. Like, there is also American tattoo style there. There is also men's, and Burak would do, like, beautiful old school tattooing.
Nice,
so I like that when you walk in, you can feel all the different styles and the vibe.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you should just stop by anytime. It's in Williamsburg, so...
It's a really good location.
Yeah.
I actually lived a couple blocks from it, actually.
Oh, yeah? That's awesome.
I lived off the Lorimer stop.
Yeah, it's right
so
there.
So when you are commuting, I think, into Brooklyn or Queens, you take the BQE, and that's where the shop is.
It's right there.
Yeah, and I actually came across you because I saw the storefront itself, and I was like, no way that is a tattoo parlor, because it's so different from the other tattoo parlors I've seen.
Some people think it's a art gallery.
Yeah.
They go inside like, what are you guys doing? Are you, no, we're a tattoo shop. Oh, wow. I think also like the gold flower in the front door, like the we have like that very simple logo can go to like, it's very like intemporal too and speaks to a lot of people and it's very delicate. I think what I love with the shop is that everyone, every style is welcome.
Right.
And I didn't want it to be just that new, modern, contemporary shop that don't care about the history of tattooing and the other styles.
Yeah.
We have a tattoo artist for every style there.
Yeah.
So.
So you spoke a little bit about tattoo culture, but what is that world like? What is the world of tattooing like? Is everyone collaborative? You guys talk to one another? You share designs? Like,
it's very less scary than people can think of. I've always had that idea in mind before I started to really be involved in it, that I would never be welcome. Like, I was just too different from them, which I was sad about because I was very interested about it, but I've always felt I would not be welcomed. Mm-hmm. But I was just a cliche I had. Nobody didn't welcome me. Like, I was just thinking it would be that way. And that's only when I started to do my apprenticing in a actually American old school tattoo shop that I met. It was only men covered of tattoos doing only traditional tattoo. So really, to me, it was a big step of like, okay, trying to get into that world. And it was just a wall of teddy bears, like so nice, like treating me like I was a little sister and really helpful. I can walk in any tattoo shop and be like, hey, what's up? I own Fleur Noir. And we would talk about our work. We would like exchange our cards. And I feel there was way less competition in New York because there was place for everyone. And tattooers wants to meet tattooer. Like we want to meet them, to get to know them. When I have to say every time I go to France, this is not what happens.
Not the same case. Yeah.
No, I feel because maybe there is less space for everyone. Maybe because there is still a little less people asking to get tattooed. I mean, a lot more now, but maybe not compared
as
to New
York.
As
much
as
here, yeah.
Yeah, it's been less friendly when I go there.
That's interesting.
If it's people I know from friends or if it's a shop I worked at, then yes, they will welcome me. If not, they will be like, we're not friends.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, too bad. Like, we can learn from each other. I don't get why.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it will change.
Yeah. So in the last 2.5 years, you've traveled a lot. You've gotten a lot of good press about the shop. What are some of the most favorite places that you like to travel to? And then also maybe, like, the most favorite tattoo that you've done on anyone?
Honestly, I can't pick a favorite place. My favorite place is just travel. The idea of traveling
that thing of
me.
Traveling.
I really love it. I have to say I enjoy going to warm countries the most. So tattooing in Brazil was amazing.
Yeah.
Tattoo culture in Brazil is huge and people are extremely welcoming and friendly and it's sunny and warm all the time. So that was, to me, a
beautiful place.
It was amazing. The two tattoo shops I worked at in Rio and Sao Paulo are still my friends and they became like a little family there. It was amazing. And I enjoy going to Miami because it's very close from New York. It's just like a 2 hours flight. It's very cheap. And I can escape the winter of New York and get to be by the beach. And I have a lot of clients there. So it's not my favorite travel place, but it's just a very easy trip that makes me happy.
Accessible.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel it's important, if you like traveling, of course, to actually doing with tattooing because you can meet your clients from everywhere and get to know different style of tattooing and I just have fun. Like I meet new tattoo shops and recently I've been doing it a lot from events, like from hotels or like Airbnbs, and it's been super fun to like meet people directly where they are.
And what are some of the favorite like design that you've done recently?
A fun one, I would not say my most emotional design. I have an example of that I can give you after, but this one was a very fun one. I watched a French TV reality show for years. A lot of people will judge me for it. I know. It's like my husband still don't get why I watch that. But they've been going on for 10 years and they travel with the show. And they were in Miami recently. Uh-huh. And to me, it's a show I've been watching as a teenager behind my screen. And they asked me to go there and to tattoo in the villa of where they filmed the TV
show.
No
way.
So I was like, oh my God, it's like a teenage dream coming true.
It's come full circle, huh?
Yeah, so that's why I went to Miami and I was in the villa where they turned the TV show and I tattooed a very funny pin-up old school tattoo girl with a palm tree instead of her head. And to me, that tattoo was one I will remember forever because it made me use my fine line skills to go back to to traditional tattooing because of the pin-up style. So mix my apprenticing and where I am now in one design and mix my French suburb ghetto girl that watched that TV show to who I am now. Yeah. And I feel it was just a beautiful mix of a lot of aspects of myself in one design.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy I did that. Yeah.
What was the other emotional one?
That was like a year ago, but it was a beautiful tattoo. It's a woman that's 65 years old that came to me after she won against a breast cancer.
Wow.
And she got a double mastectomy surgery. So she never got a tattoo in her life before, and she got two implants. Of course, in the implants, you cannot see the nipples. And she asked me to use that as a free canvas to tattoo on her two implants. And I felt it was a big step for me because it's a big challenge. I mean, she's 65. She's never got a tattoo before. She's not the type of client we have at the shop. And also, she let me free to do whatever I wanted. And also, I've never tattooed on implants before. So it was a big thing.
Yeah.
And I got two tattoo leaves all around her breast.
Yeah.
And then she sent me that beautiful email telling me that tattoo changed her life and her vision of herself and how she feels beautiful now that she watched herself in a mirror because she feels like she's a piece of art.
Wow.
And after that, she came back because she wanted to add more. So we added more leaves on her ribs, on her sides. And now she's like, she just wants to keep going everywhere.
Yeah.
And wow, like I'm so honored for this type of pieces.
So this is something I really want to talk about. It's just like that's crazy to me. Like that someone that has never met you comes to you like, hey, I want this on me that's permanent forever. Yeah. I mean, talk to us a little bit about, I mean, as an artist, the implication of inking someone, right? It's just, it's a very big deal. Like, it's a very personal thing.
It's a very big deal for both the client as for me. To me, it's more like an honor that someone asked me to do it. For the person that comes to me, it's even bigger because they're going to have to look at it for the rest of their lives. For sure, it's a big step and a big challenge. There is like two type of people, like the ones that are going to do something that means a lot, that's a very meaningful tattoo. Maybe it's one of their first tattoo and they are not in the tattoo industry, so they have to think a lot before they pick the artist.
Yeah.
And like, just don't walk in any shop. Look at your artist. Look at what you're going to do. Look at their style, if the style fits what you want, because if you ask someone that doesn't do that style, you're going to be disappointed. And then you're going to have to stare at it for the rest of your life, and that's not the artist's fault. That's your fault for not having picked the right person.
First.
Some people are nice and will tell you, oh, I don't do that, so go see the right artist.
Mm.
And some people just don't care about you because they won't never see you again, so they will tell you, yeah, I can do that. I think it's on both sides. It's not nice that they lie to you. If I go to a hair salon and I see that they have very bad reviews or don't do what I want at all, I'm not going to ask to a salon that does like usually older people to make my hair
nice and fresh blue and trendy or something.
I'm like, yeah, it's like it's also on you to look at what you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, just make your research before and make sure you do a consultation or stop by the shop before so you can see the feeling you have with the artist. The second type of clients is people that are covered of tattoos, that are friends with tattooers, that maybe tried to tattoo before, and that it means less for them in a way that, like, we just want to share art between tattooers, they just want to collect pieces, and in that case, it's a little less pressure in the way that, like, I know that they know my style and they just want a piece of art from me, and they have so many anyway, mm-hmm. that to them it's like, oh well, if I don't love it, I would just do something else on the top of it. Like it's a different story.
So every time I have guests on the show, I kind of talk to you about this off air, but we have them define what hospitality means to them as a word and as a concept. So to you, what does that conjure up, the word hospitality?
In French, we say hospitalité, and it can be applied for anything. It doesn't apply for a specific type of industry. It just means to the idea of welcoming someone in the good way, being open, no matter what their background or their culture are or how they look like. It's just to welcome, but also be welcome. To me, hospitality is a trade. It's like, it's just the idea of having no expectation of someone and just being warm and not having a cliche. And after you meet them, if they don't give you hospitality back, then I feel that's the limit of hospitality. It's like, I will be the nicest to you and the warmest to you and offer you food or coffee or anything and be welcome. But if you don't give that back to me and if you just show me a cold attitude, then I'm like, well, we're done with hospitality. Like to me, it's a trait. Like, I'm not going just to... hospitality means respect.
Yeah. It's really cool because I think there's a lot of hospitality in what you do as a tattoo artist.
Yeah, about that. Oh, for sure.
And you're traveling all the time and it's you and this one other person, like building that trust and that bond and that relationship.
Yeah, it's totally about hospitality. And when you do something as strong and as meaningful as a tattoo, I always welcome my clients the warmest way, but for sure you can feel the energy back from them very deeply. If they are giving me back hospitality, we're going to have the best experience. But if I give to them and they just act very coldly, the tattoo session can be very weird for me as well. Like it can be very hard because I feel like I'm giving my energy, but I don't have it back. And it can become strange.
Yeah, it's a very much like a two-way street. It's a dialogue,
it's
right?
It's a dialogue.
Between two people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not just... It is a dialogue. That's exactly that.
Yeah. I think... Over the past... this time of speaking with you, you're very passionate about tattooing and being, and that enabling you to travel, which is something you love again. So there's a lot of aspects to it that you love, but ultimately, like, why are you so passionate about what you do?
I don't know if I really know it myself, but I just feel if I didn't do that, I would die. Like, it just keeps me alive. It's what brings me joy every day. It just brings me so much love. I feel like this is my biggest love story. And why do you need love? Why do we want love? It's the same thing. It's like, we don't just know why. It just makes me happy.
Yeah.
It really makes me happy.
Yeah. For people that want to follow your work on Instagram or social media and in your shop, like, what's the best way to follow you?
Well, the best way these days is obviously Instagram. My Instagram page is Nothing Wild Tattoo. I also have a website, nothingwildtattoo.com. And then my tattoo shop is called Fleur Noire. And the website fleurnoiretattoo.com. So if you want to do my work, you will have to wait a little bit because my bookings are closed. But
solid.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm very happy to see that so many people are asking me to get my art on them. But if you just want to wait less time and have more options, then just go to my tattoo shop and we have a lot of artists that do amazing styles and that can take you more quickly.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
As we close out episode 11, I wanted to thank Laura for coming in today and for chatting with me about tattoo and putting in her work and the passion for what she does. Of course, Better Work Studios for lending us the space today. And I just wanted to also mention that there is a newsletter that I launched that went out on Monday. So every Monday, I'm planning to put out a newsletter that dives more into maybe the behind-the-scenes stories with the guests that I have on the show, as well as, you know, teasers to the upcoming episode, motivational quotes, any kind of, like, acts of kindness or things on hospitality that I want to talk about. It's really an extension of this podcast and a way for me to stay engaged with you and have a dialogue back and forth. because I think that this podcast is great, and I love kind of sharing these stories, but I would love to also get more people involved in having more of a conversation. That being said, if you wanted to sign up for this newsletter, you can type in subscribe.withwarmwelcome.com, or you can just go to withwarmwelcome.com, and it should show you a couple of buttons, and the on the bottom there will be subscribe to the weekly welcome. Click that, just type in your email address, and you're good to go. And you'll probably see an email from me next Monday. So every Monday you'll get an email. So this episode today is kind of the closing episode for the season, quote unquote. And I say quote unquote because, you know, when I first started this back in January, the plan has always been to have an episode every week. And that's still the intention, and that's very much still the plan. Episode 50 will be actually landing on Christmas this year, which is also on a Wednesday. So I won't be really taking breaks in between episodes. But I know at the restaurant that I work at now, it's super seasonal. So every season we'll rotate through the menu, and everything changes, you know, depending on the locality, the ingredients, and the techniques that the kitchen wants to use and showcase. And we always reflect on what we've done, how we can do better. And that's so important, I think, to stay innovative and stay dynamic and stay relevant. And so there will be a couple of changes that I wanted to make to this podcast. And I think every 10 or 15 episodes, or depending on, again, the season, I think I'll try to make changes accordingly. So in terms of what's next for this podcast, along with the newsletter, of course, will be a new jingle and new transition music by my friend Alex Pinkowski, and a new and improved cover art by Subin, who's a high school friend of mine, a super talented illustrator based in Seoul, as well as the next episode will be the season opener for spring, if you will, with Jim McPartland, who's a VP of Leadership Development with Forbes Travel Guide. And that episode is a special episode that will really just be dedicated to hospitality and all things hospitality. And so that's kind of what's on the horizon. Again, if you want to stay in touch with me and the podcast and kind of get more involved, please do sign up for the newsletter. Thanks. We'll see you next week.